You know, I always get annoyed about it. I said, well, how come we can't speak? Well, you know what? There is a lot of things that you could do that it will speak louder and it would teach louder than if you make a comment. And here, the whole city in the end, the whole city heard of it, and many believed on the Lord as a result of making quotes.
I was just thinking how the Lord takes note of it. You know, she's not an Apostle Paul that takes up almost the entire New Testament. Here's a person that takes just a few verses in the entire New Testament. But what kind of volume these few verses speak as to the fact of what kind of a person this was. I'm sure we could all think of, you know, sisters in our own meetings where we come from. Humble, quiet service, behind the scene. Sometimes nobody knows but them and the Lord. And how the Lord just honors that. And is going to reward them sometimes, I think, so much more than a person that we might stand up and speak and give tremendous ministry. Quiet, humble service that sometimes only the Lord knows. And here, just a few verses, but yet nevertheless, the Lord is so impressed by this that He makes sure that the Spirit of God leads, that it should be recorded, and it's for our learning. It's that we can see a small, simple example of how a sister has served and ministered to the saints. And I like the fact that these widows, they came not just weeping, but they were able to show the coats. Here's tangible service and work done. Here is the fruit of her labor, of the years that she may not have even realized how much she meant to us. But here they can come at the end of her life when the Lord saw fit to take her and just give testimony to the service that she had done for them, and the fact that they were weeping too. It's really just striking as to how they were moved by the ministry that she did for them. And I'm sure she might not have thought of it a big deal at all in making those coats. She might have thought, well, this is just small service to the Lord, and yet how they can come and show the coats and say, look, here's the fruit of the travel of her soul when she was here ministering to us, and a testimony that might be to many others, and it's recorded here that we might get the gain of it.
So she's making many talents, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, just that we've talked about in the parable the talents, that there came a day of reckoning. Yeah. They had to give account. Yeah. And here now, at the end of her life, the widows can come and they can show what she had done for the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord recorded it. Mm-hmm. Not only here, but well, as well, in that time, she'll receive the reward.
She most likely was a woman who might have said to these widows, now I'm giving this to you, I'm doing this for you. Please don't utter a sound. Mm-hmm. She might have been that kind of woman, most likely. Don't say anything. Because if you notice, when her works became public, I'm sure she'd been making these coats for a long time. And apparently nobody but those who benefited from the coat ever knew that Dorcas was making all these coats. Until at her funeral or at her laying out, there was the evidence. Dorcas did all this all her life? Yes, she did. You would never have known it because she never wanted any special renown. She never wanted her name to be known. So it's wonderful to think of these sisters and the place of sisters. You talked about Moses' mother, but you go back to Timothy's mother and grandmother, and all you know of them is just their unfeigned faith. And that's it. The tremendous influence that they both had upon Timothy. So now Timothy is a fellow servant with the Apostle Paul, and he can move because he had an investment. The investment was put in him, the truth that he received from his mother and grandmother. So it's a wonderful place that sisters do have. And we cannot, you know, we cannot move the assembly without the sisters. We too often like to think of brothers in the sense of, oh, we are the governing body. You know, we administer, we make decisions. Well, when you come to the scriptural principle, where are decisions made? Among the brothers? Decisions are made in the assembly. And the assembly is comprised of brothers and sisters alike.
And it's nice to be balanced. Biggest problem we have, most of us, is we're not balanced. We go off on one side or we go off on the other side. It's a wonderful thing to see the great picture that we have here. And that is that on the one side, there's the public ministry. It's absolutely needed. We don't want to minimize that in any way. That the public role of the brother in ministering really for Christ from the platform, in the gospel, in the ministry meeting, is absolutely a wonderful thing. But we don't say that at the expense of leaving the sisters out. Because the role of the sister, and I felt bad when I said this morning, the comment really about there may be those that we must separate from. That may be true, but I want to back it, and I want to make it in a little different way. Stop and think, young brother and young sister, about the kind of influence we each are. What kind of an influence am I? What kind of an influence are you to your peers? That's a much better way of looking at it and of asking help before the Lord that I might be and that you might be the kind of a sister and the kind of a brother that the Lord would use our lives to influence others like He used the life of this dear sister. What a positive thing that is, that I'm a good example, that I'm a brother that those in the meeting look at and they say, well, yes, he's a young brother, but I'll tell you something. He's got a heart for the Lord, and he's going on for the Lord. Or they see a young sister, and that's the comment they have. Yes, she's a young sister, but I'll tell you something. She's a devoted sister who loves the Lord, and the Lord is going to use her in a day to come. That's really what the Lord would have us to set before. This is what we would want to be true of us, isn't it? I interrupted you, Tony. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I was thinking of to dovetail into what you're saying, the truth of the coats and the garments is very much connected to what you're saying. When you look at these two words, they speak of a covering. The coat is that which protects from the elements outside. And I think we recognize from Scripture that we have been clothed not in our own righteousness, and Dorcas wasn't bringing anything of herself. I believe the garments that she knitted or sewed together, that they spoke of Christ, because that's where it emanated from her heart. You know, if it was in her own energy, she might have done a few coats. But I believe in knowing how the Lord had touched her heart, that His righteousness had clothed her, that she was, in a sense, helping along the saints in covering them. And the garments, understand, speak of the walk of the believer. And she was imparting, as it were, a little bit to them of what she had learned of Christ, the graciousness of Christ, the mercy of Christ. You know, as we have been placed in a fortunate position, and you look across and you see a widow, you see a saint that's elderly. You see someone who has had some difficulties. It is good to give to them of Christ. That's really what they brought after she had died. This was the evidence of a life that belonged to the Lord Jesus. I think David said, Bola said that here was that increase. You know, the Lord, the master, put in the hands of the servant. And he says, do something with this. And it's both the pound in the apprehension of Christ and the development in your own soul, and it's also the talent which had been given to her. She didn't just hold it. She didn't bury it in the earth. She was busy with it.
Amen.
And what was produced? Garments, coats that could further pass along the goodness of the Lord.